If you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and keep your Bibles handy because we're going to be going the different passages throughout my message. But listen to the words in Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. But now, O Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. For I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through the deep waters and great troubles, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Let's bow in prayer. Father, as we come to this part of the service, pray that each one here would have an open and receptive heart and mind. That they would say, Lord, speak to me. Show me my need. Feed me that I might grow more in my Christian life. And Father, I pray for this pastor that the words that flow forth from my lips might be your words and that your name might be honored and glorified. And Father, we pray your blessing upon this church. Continue to use it as a lighthouse for you, that your name might be upheld in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, threatening waters, perilous times are part of life. Our lives can turn upside down in seconds. Announcements come over the TV, over the radio, over the internet. I was thinking back on March 14th, the year 2020. I picked up my granddaughter from high school. Her name's Michaela. And she hopped in the car. And she had the funniest expression on her face. She said, Papa, they're going to close the school for 2 weeks. We're not allowed to come to school for 2 weeks. We all have to stay home because of a virus. She didn't understand quite everything that was going on. Then on the 15th, we started to hear more troubling news. They were going to start closing things down because of the virus. Possibility of a worldwide pandemic was starting. Then comes another announcement, 2 more weeks. Then another month. That has turned into almost 3 years now. The shock of this news. Do you remember how you first felt when you heard it? Unbelief? I know thoughts that came to my mind. I thought I would never live to see where our government shut down every church, where churches in the continental world were shut down. No one was allowed to go to a worship. Churches who boldly enough to say, no, we're staying open, we're going to preach, we're going to have our worship services, their pastors were arrested, taken off to jail. Every business just about was shut down except essential businesses. And some of those essential businesses should have been shut down. How they could call them essential. Our world was turned upside down so quick. Water was rising. Water can be black, cold, mysterious, violent. We're not sure what lurks under and beneath the surface. And in the ancient Near East, people feared water. Rivers, they would overflow their banks. The sea could become an angry white-capped monster in seconds. The waters were perceived as chaos, associated with disorder, evil, and death. They witnessed this in nature, but it also happened in their own lives. It's happened in our lives as well. Life itself is uncertain. The chaos of life feels like swirling water pulling us down deeper and deeper. Be assured of this. There's bad news, but there's also good news. When we're hurting and suffering, we may get to the point where we think that God has stopped listening to us. He ceased caring, or worse, that God has abandoned us completely. When we get to that point sometimes, we stop seeking Him. We have a mentality of this: I'll show God. Our spiritual life is hindered. We hurt worse. Church attendance is affected. Bible reading stops. Prayer ceases. We pull away from other Christians. The distance between God and us widens. Our broken hearts make us feel and think that God is so far away. Really, really far away. But remember this: He has not moved. The reality is, we moved. We feel the same way the psalmist David felt when he was going through some very hard, difficult, deep waters, flames coming up against him. Listen to his cry, will you please? In Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3. Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I cannot find a foothold to stand on. I'm in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I am exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched and dry. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. What a prayer, isn't it? What frustration. Have you ever been there? I have. I'm not going to share what I've gone through with you today. I will share that when I come back in September. Give you a little taste, maybe you'll come back. But I have been there. I have felt the same way David felt in that psalm. The verses that we read in Isaiah, what comforting words those are. But listen to the words found in Psalms 34, verse 18, which is so comforting. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The bad news is this. God never says we will not need to walk through the waters. And if you caught something when I was reading the verses in Isaiah, it didn't say if you pass through the waters, if the flames come. What's the word that it says before that? When. He's telling us, be prepared. Now somehow, my brain got a little mixed up. And because my wife and I and two small children gave up everything, a brand new house, we both worked for Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Companies. I had been with Lilly's for 9 months, or 9 years and 9 months. If I'd have kept on the other 3 months, I would have had a pension today. But we gave it all up and said, God, we'll go and we'll do what you want us to do. And I had a crazy thinking that since we gave up everything, God would totally protect us and nothing bad would happen to my family. Was I wrong? You bet I was. Where I came up with that thinking, I have no idea. I never heard my grandfather preach it. I never heard my dad preach it. I never preached it myself, but I thought that. And then one day, a knock came at our door, and reality punched me straight in the face. God never promises that we will not need to walk through the waters. But here's the good news. God promises us the rivers will not overwhelm, and God will be with us. I found that out personally. But boy, did I struggle. God is trustworthy. God's promises are true. And we need to learn to trust in Christ. We need to learn to trust Christ in difficult times. Claim his promises. The text of a favorite hymn, How Firm a Foundation, acknowledges those promises. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God, and I still give thee aid. I'll strengthen and help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. The soul that on Jesus shall learn to repose, I will not desert to the fools. That soul, though all hell should endeavor him to be shaken, I'll never, no never, no never forsake you. Through the floods and the flames are upon thee. God's word and grace will sustain you. Never fear. He is there. He knows every care, his love and his power will bring victory. I am behind this pulpit today, and I'm in the ministry of the chaplaincy because of the floods, the flames, and the difficulties that my wife and I had to face. I would never be the person I am today if I hadn't walked through those deep, dark, difficult valleys of tragedy. But what a marvelous promise from the Word of God is found in these verses. Often life strikes a major chord. We find ourselves in the floods and the flames. We wonder, is God really with us, forsaken us? And believe me, I thought that. I thought God had pulled his hand of blessing off of me. I thought God was finished with me. God was punishing me. God was really angry at me, because otherwise he wouldn't have let this happen to me. And how many times in the chaplaincy when I walked into a hospital room did I have that thrown at me? Why is God doing this to me? Why is God allowing this? God really must hate me, or he wouldn't make me go through this sickness. He wouldn't make me go through this accident. He wouldn't do what he's doing to my life. It's so easy to blame God, isn't it? When we're going through something. We wonder, has God ever experienced anything like I'm experiencing right now? And the answer to that is yes. And I take that answer because of the events called and happened during the Passion Week or the Holy Week. From Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter Sunday. Look at what he suffered in that short a time of week. God knows how we feel when we suffer, when we go through the floods and the flames of life. God's precious word can conquer the fears that we have. God can overcome our anxieties. Listen to these words again. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. He knows your name. He knows you personally. Because you are his child. And if you are a child of God, redeemed by his shed blood, and has accepted the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, he bought you with the price of his own blood. He knows your name. You belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The God who is the creator and sustainer of the universe cares about you personally. Have you ever reached that point? Faced the floods and flames of life? Where you face such a fear and uncertainty in your life? This is when you need to get alone with God and ask for his help. Search the scripture for the promises he has given you. You will have the strength to go through the floods and the flames with courage, with assurance that God is yet in control and God is still sitting on the throne. God's in control of everything. He's in control of your life. He has your life in his hands. God never promised that we as Christians would have no trials. In fact, the opposite is true. He told us here in Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, when you walk through the fires, every one of us sometime during your life's journey is going to have to face the floods and the flames of life. It is true that many times, the only time we can learn is when we are going through trials and hard times. And in the 50 and a half years that Jenny and I were married, I found a very interesting fact. We drew closer to God and to each other when we were facing difficult times, more so than when everything was going peaches and ice cream. That's hard to learn. It's hard to face. It's hard to live. But it's true. We learn through the trials and hard times of life. However, as a Christian, we can get through those experiences of life with the assurance that Jesus is there going through the flames and the floods right with us. He'll guide us. He'll strengthen us along the way. There's three very important promises within these three verses that I read this morning in Isaiah. And they all start with the letter P. God's divine presence. God's divine protection. God's divine provisions. What a promise we have. His presence, His protection, and His provision. And I found that to be so true with what we faced in our personal life. God's presence. His presence will sustain us. You know, when the floodwaters come, and I never looked at it this way when I was going through it, but Jesus was my life preserver. He threw a life preserver around me so that I wouldn't drown. I didn't recognize it at that particular time. I was so engrossed with my grief, my sorrow, my heartache. My heart had been torn out of my heart, out of my body. Yet God threw a life preserver, and I didn't drown. My wife kind of gave me a slap in the face while we were facing this tragedy. Because I made a remark to her. And I said, Jenny, when I get to heaven, I'm going to march right up to Jesus and I'm going to put my nose against His nose and I'm going to ask Him, why? You know what she said so calmly to me? When we get to heaven, it won't matter why. That brought me back to reality. That brought me back to the fact, yeah, we're going to suffer here on earth. But when we get to heaven, it won't matter one bit. God's presence with us. When you pass through waters, I'll be with you. We do not face the struggle alone. God is there in every situation. You'll never have to face a circumstance, a trial, a trouble, a heartache, a tragedy, where God is not there to bring you through. It's like this young couple. They were on vacation, and they decided that they'd never done this before. They wanted to go on a whitewater rapids canoe trip. But the young lady was a little fearful. She says, I don't know about this. But he talked her into it, and they got down, the guide that was with them brought the whole group together, started passing out life preservers, and then he said this. He says, when you're washed out of the canoe, do not be afraid. If the canoe capsizes, do not be afraid. She looked over at her husband and said, ain't no way I'm going. And then he said some comforting words. Fear not, because I will be there with you to bring you to safety. Every flame and flood has a reason. My exhortation to you is to learn to lean on Jesus. And I picked up your hymnal this morning, and I opened right to page 535, and I thought, what a beautiful little course. And I think this is where most of us are right now. We're learning. We haven't got to that point where we've actually, hey, we've learned it. We can understand it. We're a work in progress. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And then look at the words on 575, leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus, the third verse. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, learning to lean on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Look at those next two words. Safe and secure from all alarms. Learning to lean on Jesus. He will always be there with us, waiting to help, to strengthen us. He has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. God has promised he would be right alongside of us during those times. Look at God's protection in verse 2. His protection will sustain us through the floods and the flames. The trials of life are inescapable. Every person must face them sooner or later. Be assured, if you're not going through one of those floods or flames right now, they could be right around the corner yet this afternoon. They pop up at the unexpected times of life. But how wonderful to know that God is there to protect us with his omnipotent power. For it says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Oh, the three Hebrew children, remember their story? I should say it's a story. It's a true account of life. In Daniel chapter 3, the three Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace. And they learned that God's almighty hand was able to protect. Even what seemed to be a hopeless situation, when facing a furnace that had been heated 7 times hotter than ever before, that God was there to assist these three Hebrew children because they had faith. You know what a good definition of faith is? Forsaking all, I trust him. Spells out the word faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. And in chapter 3 of Daniel, verse 27, it tells us, the fire had no power, nor was their hair singed. Were their coats smelled of fire? No. Yet the ropes had been burned off of their hands and feet. They were walking around inside that fiery furnace having a party. And then the question was asked, did not we only throw 3 men into that fire? And how many men were walking around in that fire? 4. God was with them in the midst of that fire. You can trust the living God. Now, he may protect us in ways that we never dreamed of. He may protect us, and we may not even see it at the time we're going through the trials. I didn't realize how God really protected me until I was completely over on this side of the trial, the tragedy. I couldn't comprehend it while I was going through it. But you know what? It's a good thing that we don't have to depend on our comprehension. We can know that God is there even though we don't understand it. And I'm sure perhaps that the three Hebrew children wondered, why were they going through this? Why was God allowing it? I don't think there's any question or any problem with us asking why. God is a very gracious, loving Heavenly Father. And let me ask you, while your children were growing up, when you told them to do something, what was their one question back? A little bit louder.
Why?
Why? Yeah. And just because they asked you why, did you say, I'm not going to love you anymore? No. So I don't think there's anything wrong in asking God why. And I'm going to confess something to you. I was very angry at God when I went through this tragedy. But I was learning a lesson so that I could help other people in the hospital with the same thing. There's a certain church, and I'm not going to say what it was, but they teach that it's a sin to ever question God. It's a sin to ask him why. And so when a person's in a hospital and they're fighting an illness and they've questioned God, why, and they're angry at God, now they're fighting three things: the illness, the guilt of asking God why, and the sin of saying, I'm angry. So they're fighting three things now instead of one. And I could assure them there's nothing wrong in saying, asking God why, and there's nothing wrong in getting angry with God. The problem is if you don't get it straightened out with God. God's protection. We can trust God for his help, for his protection. He'll strengthen you in your time of need. And then look at the third one, God's divine provision will sustain you through the floods and the flames. Many times it is not God's will that we escape the floods and the flames. We may ask God why, but he's telling us, walk through the flames. They're not going to consume you. But the only way you're going to get from A to B and from B to C is if you walk through those trials, those tragedies, those heartaches. Because you can come out a better person. When you're going through those trials, you will come out one of two ways. You will come out of those trials either a very bitter, angry person, or you will come out of those trials a better, stronger person. And you know the difference between the word bitter and the word better is the letter I. And by the help of God, I can become a better person. But it's only because I had to go through the flames, through the deep waters. Did I like going through them? You bet I hated it. Hated it with a passion. But I came out a better, stronger Christian, which I wouldn't have if I hadn't walked through those flames. It's not God's will that we escape the floods and the flames of life, but rather his will that we learn of his provision through those times. I have seen God heal people. God healed me completely. I was told at the age of 27 that there's a good possibility I had pancreatic cancer. And if I had it, they'd sew me up, send me home, and give me a couple months to live at age 27. Thank God they were wrong. God healed me miraculously. But that's not always the case. Sometimes God doesn't stop things that we feel they should. You know, we pray for people, Lord, heal them, heal them. And I learned in my ministry that when I prayed with a patient in the hospital, never did I say, God, heal them, and then stop. Because then if they don't heal them, then they think, boy, that chaplain was a liar. God doesn't hear their prayers. God doesn't answer prayer. I would always say, Lord, thy will be done. Because we don't know what God's will is. And sometimes the person who's suffering, God's will is, Lord, I'll take them home where pain ceases. No more tears, no more sickness, no more problems. There's going to be joy, happiness, rejoicing in heaven. But you know what? I found out too when I went through my second tragedy. I was selfish. I didn't want to give up something. But then I realized when it was taken away from me, God was right. My prayers were answered. God healed them. But not in a way that I expected and wanted. You know the story of the widow and Elijah? Remember that story? The widow was down to the last oil and meal. Elijah came along and said, "Feed me." She could have said, "No, I only got enough for me and my son." But she said, "No, Elijah, come. I'll give you with what little I have, I'll give to you." God blessed that widow. One of the most difficult lessons we must learn is how to accept the will of God in our life. God's will is always right. God's will is always best for our life. But it's not always the easiest way for us. Sometimes it's the hardest. Many times. I know from experience. But you know what? There's something comforting. And take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 4. And listen to these words. Or go back to verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. The Lord used the tragedies that I went through to minister to people. I worked at Frederick Hospital for 7.5 years, and my main ministry at Frederick was the trauma center. And brother, did I ever get an education in that ministry? But I was able to help other people that were going through the same identical thing that I faced. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. Do you remember he had a thorn in the flesh? 3 times Paul asked God to remove it. But it was not God's will to remove that thorn in the flesh. It was God's plan to provide extra grace to sustain him through it. Pain is part of living. Even our Lord endured the suffering of the cross on our behalf because this was his Father's will for him. And God will provide whatever we need to help us face life's struggles. Remember the 3 P's, will you? God's divine presence, God's divine protection, and God's divine provision. If the floods and flames of life are upon you right now, don't give up. Take faith. Turn to the Word of God. Find a promise that you can anchor yourself to. And you know, one of the hardest things for us as human beings is to ask for help. But if you're facing a trial and a heartache or a tragedy, don't be afraid to ask someone for help. Another Christian brother or sister, pastor, friend. Ask for help. Because sometimes God sends angels in the forms of another person to help you. In our tragedy, God sent an angel thousands of miles away from Port Washington, Wisconsin, to Boise, Idaho. Meridian Baptist Church heard of our tragedy, and they flew, Jenny, me, and Brian, from Milwaukee out to Boise, Idaho, for 13 days to minister to us. And they had never met us. Didn't know us from Adam. But God sent them along. Accept the help that God sends to you through the forms of other people. God will be with you. He'll protect you. He'll provide for you. He is able. Because sometimes we forget. He knows you by name. And he tells you, fear not, for I am with you. It's in the valleys I grow. Sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow, trouble, and woe. It's then I have to remember that it's in the valleys I grow. If I always stayed on the mountaintop and never experienced pain, I would never appreciate God's love and would be living in vain. I have so much to learn, and my growth is very slow. Sometimes I need the mountaintops, but it's in the valleys I grow. I do not always understand why things have to happen to me as they do. I am very sure of one thing. My Lord will see me through. My little valleys are nothing when I picture Christ on the cross. He went through the valley of death. His victory was Satan's loss. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining when I'm feeling so very low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys I grow. Continue to strengthen me, Lord, and use my life each day to share your love with others and to help them find the way. Thank you, Lord, for the valleys I've gone through. For this one thing I know, the mountaintops are glorious, but it's in the valleys that I grow. This poem was written by Jane Egerton. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. Amen. What has God promised? God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all life through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God hath not promised we shall not know toil, temptation, troubles, tragedies, and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. God hath not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain, rocky or steep, never a river so wild and deep. But this God has promised, strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love, because you are one of his children, and God has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Shall we bow our heads, please? You say, Pastor Larry, I've been facing some things in my life right now that are difficult. I don't quite understand everything that's happening to me. Would you pray for me? Or I'm not certain about what life's holding for me around the corner. And I just need some prayer. right where you're seated. God knows your heart. I don't need to know it. I don't want to know it. You say, Lord, I need prayer. I need help to guide me. I need your protection, your provisions. Can I pray for anyone? No one looking around. This is between you and the Lord. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, your watch care, your protection over each of us. Even as we go from day to day on our life's journey, we can see many times where, wow, this could have really been bad, but you protected us. It wasn't worse than what it was. And Father, thank you. We don't understand everything. We acknowledge that. But we do have the promise that you are with us, that you will take care of us as we travel this life's journey. In Jesus' name, amen.